What's up, everyone? It's Ray Garvin, host of the Destination Debbie podcast. If you're waiting until after the NFL season to start your college scouting process, you're already behind the eight ball. There are hundreds of college football games on each and every Saturday, far too many to keep up with, along with following your favorite NFL teams. But don't worry. This show is designed for not only you hardcore Debbie leaguers, but those of you who want to learn about the next group of potential NFL stars and get a leg up in your traditional dynasty leagues. We don't just talk about the big name college football guys. We hit on the small school value prospects who also have a shot to make it to the next level. If you want to position your dynasty team for short and long-term success, make sure you check out the DDP on DLF and all the other amazing shows DLF has to offer.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners will turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a clowner with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade at X5. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, a.k.a. Meatloaf Wildcat, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Scott Sidlow, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 109 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts and a member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. I think I need to find like two different cadences instead of just one to throw it all together, but that's a topic for another time.
And be careful with the hand motions. You might like throw a shoulder out or something.
I stretch before every show just for that purpose.
You do stretch.
Pre-game stretch. Just
because I can confirm that.
Especially like when things get active, I use my hands a lot. And I, you know, last thing I need is whatever the arm equivalent of a hammy pull in the middle of recording. Because I mean, I am not a warrior. I will stop the show. I will needs to be carried off LeBron style when he had that cramp. Was LeBron, right? Oh, I don't know basketball. I don't know why I brought that up. But today is Memorial Day, a day off for most people. Thank you to everyone who has ever had even themselves or a family member serve. Rock and roll, thank you. And I feel awesome that I could just say, hey, it was a day off. But it was a day off, so we had an extra little bit of rest going in. So I'm refreshed. I missed last Trade Addicts. I am psyched. And it's Scott frickin' Fishbowl Day. Woo! Okay, did you guys get an invite? By the look of Scott's face, I'm going to guess the answer is no for you, buddy.
Not yet. I'm waiting.
Did you sign up?
Waiting impatiently. Yes, I signed up. I confirmed. That is, it's all good.
Yep. Okay. ScottFishbowl.com, I think it is. If you're not sure if you signed up, there is a place you can go where you can enter your email address and you can see if you signed up or not. Go do that now. He is always has spaced out invites, so it's not all going to be done today. Well, I mean, to be fair, by the time you listen to this, it's not going to be today anyway, so that sentence doesn't really matter. But you know, it takes a couple of weeks, so don't freak out. You could probably still go sign up. I don't know if that will do you any good, but it might make you feel a little bit better.
Yeah,
you about to say something, right?
No, I'm just looking at the website right now. You can,
there you go. If you haven't signed up yet, go signed up. Maybe he randomizes it, who the hell knows. Maybe you'll still get a chance. But in case you don't know, the Scott Fishbowl is a gigantic, I think it's what, 1,200 people this year, giant redraft league. All of the money goes to Fantasy Cares, which is Scott Fish's charity, which donates to Toys for Tots. And it's a way just for the entire freaking community to get together and just, A, do some great stuff for kids and, you know, lots and lots of trash talk. That's really what it's about. It's, you know, being able to be in a league with someone like Scott Fish, Ryan McDowell, Matthew Berry, a couple of ex-players were in it last year. The dude from Psych was in it 2 years ago. I mean, there's these random people where you get to be in a league and just start trash talking them, or just be like, hey, I'm in a division with this guy, and you get to brag about it. And all of that is just awesome. Like, this is my third year in, and I got my invite first day, which honestly, like, I even sent out a tweet that said, I still get giddy every time I get this email. And the fact that I got it in the first wave made me even giddier. But like this Scott Fish Bowl, if you know what it is, and you are, especially if you're part of it, just brings so much joy, just because of A, again, what it does and what the meaning of it is, but also just because also it means it's getting to be football season, guys. Like, this stuff is happening. I know we did startups back in February, but I mean, like, football season barely ended in February. But like, to me, like, this is the spark. This is the start. It's real now. And I'm going to still pretend this is happening, and it's happening like scheduled. Whew. I just talked a lot, and I talked a lot fast. Brian, you shook your head. You got your invite. Yeah,
I did. Yep. Yep.
So can someone else act excited besides me? Can you?
I'm pumped. I mean, it's, you know, look, to be a part of the Fish Bowl is really a, you know, it's really a cool thing. The league itself, once you know, I mean, getting the email is one thing, and it is extremely exciting. It kind of gives you that boost of, you know, energy and excitement. And then once you get into the league and you know, the group, they put the division, you know, Scott and Ryan and those guys put the division together. And then it's, you know, and then you find out who you're playing against. Then you set up group chats. Then you got the draft and all that stuff. And it's just really an exciting event to be a part of. I mean, obviously you play to win the game, as Herm would remind us, but at the same time, the Fish Bowl is one of those events that's just so much fun to be a part of. You know, I mean, I do the best that I can do, but at the end of the day, if I'm not doing great, I still feel great about it because it's a fun event. It's a great cause. I mean, over $60,000, I think, last year raised.
Mm-hmm. Something like that, yeah.
for Toys for Tots, which is absolutely amazing. So, and like you said, Russ, I mean, being able to be in a league with, you know, some names that normally you wouldn't, I mean, you don't really typically get to compete against Matthew Berry too much, I'd imagine, you know, I mean, not a lot of people get that opportunity and many others like that, not just him, but, a lot of people in the industry and whatnot and great people that are fans and all of that too. I mean, usually the divisions are kind of split up between analysts and fans, and I've met some really cool people in the 2 years that I've been a part of it so far, and I'm looking forward to it again.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it was just hilarious when I got in two seasons ago, was my first time, and I got in as an analyst with huge quote marks around that, just because I think like we were 2-3 months into doing this podcast when I'm like, maybe if I put my podcast down, it'll give me a better chance. And I guess it did, because I didn't get in the year before that when I just put in as a fan. So there you go. Start a podcast. So maybe it'll get your chances up. But also, I mean, like, before I was in it, I mean, this is SFBX, so it's the 10th year. I mean, there was 2 years before getting in where I still listened to podcasts, and I remember being thrilled, just people talking about these leagues and like almost feeling like you're part of it, even though you're not even in it, just because, again, it's a community thing. That's one of the hugest points of it, is this community. And like, I just think it's awesome to feel like you're part of that.
Yeah, and the one other thing I would just say and remind folks is, so if you haven't had the opportunity yet, don't stop trying, because, you know, there are new opportunities every year, you know, and the second part of that, and I know I've seen it on Twitter a little bit today, but bitching and moaning and complaining and trashing or feeling frustrated or bad-mouthing the Scott Fish Bowl isn't going to get you in. So, I mean, you know, it's not about sucking up either. It's about just being a positive person and supporting what Scott and those guys are doing, because what they're doing is wonderful, regardless of whether you get into the event or not. I mean, they're raising money for kids. So if you can't get behind that, then you're probably not right for the Scott Fish Bowl to begin with. And I'm not saying that from a place of, I mean, I'm saying that with as much humility as I possibly can. It's just, this event is about spreading positivity and meeting new people and coming together to do big things for kids who need it. So, you know, just keep it positive and keep your hope and your faith up as far as just getting in. One of these years it'll happen for you. It just will. I mean, there's, you know, you see multiple people last year. I know last year, Russ, I think Rocky and Dustin maybe last year got in for the first time, and they were just ecstatic about it, you know,
and those guys. Did I miss mentioning that Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network member, Rocky Petrella, was like a semifinalist? Like he finished like fourth overall or something like that.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, the bottom line again is just stay positive on there, you know, keep retweeting about it, keep talking with the people that are a part of it, and eventually you'll end up getting in. It's just a matter of time and continuation of trying. So it's a wonderful event.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be that much sweeter when you do get in. I mean, I can tell you as someone who, this is just my second year applying for it. So whenever that time comes, I will be very grateful to be in it. But just hearing so many people talk about it is pretty cool. And we like when you talk about it, like, if you have a podcast, talk about it. We'd like to hear about it. It's cool. We like to hear your experience, especially when there's 1,200 people in it, right? We want to know. It's different for everybody. So as a fan, as someone who listens to podcasts, as someone who's heard about this for years, it's fun to hear about it. So talk about it. It's cool. It's a cool thing.
And ever since I got in, anytime anyone ever tweets out a picture, that screenshot, I do it every year also, that screenshot of you're invited, you know, Scott Fish would like to welcome you to the Scott Fish Bowl. I reply to every single, I don't care if I know who you are, if I follow the person, if I just get it because someone else retweeted it in, I will reply with a GIF of just, you know, type in happy dance and pick a GIF because, like, I remember the first time I got mine, I was at work. And I see it and I'm like, and I go to run around to tell somebody. And there is just no one, you know, in my real life that knows what the hell Scott Fish Bowl is, who Scott Fish is, who cares about fantasy football. And I'm like, I just want someone to be excited for me. So I will just pure elation is deserved. And if you tweet it out there, if I see it, I will reply with a happy dance GIF. If no one replies to you, just tag me in it. Just DM you, be like, yo, Russ, I need this, please. I will find it. I will reply. Hell, I'll retweet it with a comment of the happy dance GIF so other people see it and reply to you, because everyone deserves to be that happy, to feel that in their bones. Because let's face it, almost no one we know in person understands. Okay, well, whew.
Centered. It's an exciting day. It's an exciting day. There's really no doubt about it.
Okay, so let's completely flip this switch from happy, positive, all of this great, wonderful energy. And let's go to the main event, Brian.
Main event!
The main event says one thing, and I'm not going to spoiler alert it. And Brian has something to say.
Yeah, so there's been a lot on Twitter this week and weekend about different types of formats, superflex and non-superflex and tight end premium and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's been a lot of bitching and moaning and complaining and, like, I'm tired of it, to be frank. You know, I'm a pretty patient dude. I'm a pretty laid back dude, for the most part, but, like, stop trying to tell people how they should play this game. You play the way you like it. You play the formats you like. If you like Superflex, great. Play Superflex. You don't like it? Okay, don't play it. But shut the f*** up about it. Like, I don't want to hear.
Ryan!
I don't want to hear. Seriously. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't like auctions. I don't like auction leagues. I know a ton of people that do and that absolutely love them. Good for them. Play in auction leagues. You don't hear me sitting on this podcast trashing auction leagues or complaining about them. I don't like them. That's okay. It's okay for me to like different things than you like. You know, this is a microcosm of what's happening in our society. It's like, if you don't like same format as me, well, then you're wrong. No, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. I like what I like. You like what you like. Play what you like. I'm going to play what I like and leave me the hell alone. It's just ridiculous. And you know, again, this community is one that is such a tight-knit community. It's so welcoming. It's so positive. 99% of the time. Why are we bickering over format? Play the format you like and shut the fuck up.
Twice, Brian. Okay.
I love you all. I apologize for my language. I just, it hit me so wrong this weekend, and it like ruined my Saturday because I'm like, I mean, I literally saw a thread with over 150 responses on Superflex Leagues, and I'm like, you have to be shitting me. Like, just, if you don't like it, move along. Who cares? Talk about one quarterback leagues with your friends that play one quarterback leagues. I don't like one quarterback leagues. I like Superflex. So I'm going to talk about Superflex. You talk about one QB leagues, but leave me the hell alone. You don't have to, like, you know, tag. You don't have to let everybody know what you don't like. There's zero point in that. Zero. Because the people that do like it are still going to talk about it. So just keep freaking scrolling. Like, grow up. Be mature about it. And just keep scrolling by it. It's not that difficult. It's really not.
No,
I'm sweating. I'm sweating during this podcast because I'm getting back fired back up about it the way I was on Saturday. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Just play the formats you like. Let me play the formats I like and be quiet.
You're 100% correct. I remember it was a few years ago that I started on the same crusade that you are on, because I remember what it was too. There was a dude who put out a couple of polls about his 8-team league, and everyone's like, why don't you play a real league? Why don't you play in a grown-up league? And I just said, stop league shaming the dude. He has a league he's happy with. Who cares? What's the difference? Either answer the question or don't. Like, and the thing is, like, even if you want to say, like, man, like, why don't you try a 10-team league? Oh, but for your league, hey, man, this is the answer. I mean, Trade Addicts, like, I mean, if so, maybe we just need to make sure this says don't be a dick on it. Like, because like, I feel like that's what we say more than not. Like why be a dick about it? What good does it do for anyone, even yourself, to call that out like that? I mean, you don't like Brian was saying, you don't like super flex leagues. Okay. So go find dudes who like one quarterback leagues and go talk about one quarterback leagues. There's no reason to say anything negative about that dude. Just skip over, roll over the tweet, keep going, find someone tweeting about a one quarterback league, because, you know, one scroll of that wheel, there's going to be a dude talking about a one quarterback league. And if not, you just need to follow more people. But like, seriously, yes, Brian is correct. I won't say I forgive you for cursing and making me actually edit, but I understand why you did it.
Hey, I got to keep you honest every once in a while.
I mean, I'm going to extend this to platform too. Whatever platform you like.
There are bad platforms.
Okay.
All right. No, I'm joking.
Okay. With the exception of Flea Flicker. So for me, I've tried Fantrax. I did not like it. I tried Flea Flicker. I did not like it. MFL, that's where it's at for me. That's personally my favorite. But if you like to do Sleeper, go ahead. Go for it. If you're running a league and you want to run it on Sleeper, go ahead. But it's ridiculous. I completely agree. And for some reason, it's been very recently, this stuff coming up with 8-team or 12-team or Superflex. So yeah, I definitely feel you on that. Like, it's just, I'm over all of it. Like, just do whatever you want to do. It's fantasy football. Like, who cares? Just go enjoy it. So, and like, I completely agree.
And like, I'm not talking about, I want to be clear. Like, so, one of the people that talks about this all the time is Addy, right? Addison Hayes, good friend of mine. Well, I mean, friend of mine in the community for sure. I'm in a home league with him here that I won, by the way, just pointing that out for Addison and any of the other guys that are listening to this. I got really lucky, but I'll take it. So what Addison does is Addison talks about quarterback scoring. Okay. So he's saying about, you know, his opinion is that Superflex artificially inflates but actually doesn't inflate quarterback value. He's trying to solve the problem of quarterback value by creating a new scoring system.
It's very good.
Addison is so smart. I can't even, I have his personal number, and I'll call him to understand shit, because I don't understand shit. I don't understand the numbers the way that his mind works. Peter's another one that's in that vein. I mean, the way that their mind works, mine doesn't work that way. Doesn't mean I'm stupid. It just means that I'm not analytical in my thinking all the time. So I love having guys like that so that I can expand my knowledge and understand where the numbers can play a part in building fantasy teams. Anyways, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about Addison. I'm not talking about trying to, you know, same thing with, I saw one thread that was about a tight end premium league, and they were talking about, you know, how can we, you know, make the scoring fair for different. It was just like, I'm not talking about having discussions on scoring. Like, that's fine. Like, you can have an opinion or you can have a conversation about, hey, is there a way that we can make this better by changing the scoring settings or something like that, you know, to make it more realistic to real football or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about, like, oh, hot take, Superflex is overrated. Like, you know, it's just, I'm going to die on this hill. Superflex is over. Like, or it's the same thing with tight end premium. I, you know, again, those are the two that I've seen a lot this weekend. And that it just was hitting me wrong. And I'm just like, just play in the leagues. You don't have to like it. It's okay. Nobody is saying, just because they're talking about it a lot. Like, I talk about Superflex leagues almost exclusively at this point, because it's almost exclusively what I play in. And I'm not going to join leagues that aren't Superflex leagues because I enjoy the format so much.
Mm-hmm.
Me talking about it so much, though, isn't me saying one quarterback leagues suck. I've never said that. If you can find if you can find me saying that, a clip, somebody will dig something up. It'll be great. But if you can find that, I would be interested to hear it, because I don't
listeners mean, or anything like me, then they are way too lazy for that.
I don't, but I mean, the point is, I don't believe I've ever said anything like that. And I'm not, I don't care. I don't care. Like, playing one quarterback leagues. That's how I started. That's how most of us started.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's fine. If you still play in quarterback leagues, it's fine to play in standard only leagues. I mean, to me, again, Superflex and PPR are like the two for me that are, and tight end premium starting to slide in there too, because I do enjoy that in the trade addicts leagues and mm-hmm. some other leagues I'm in. But, you know, at the end of the day, just play what you like to play. Play it on the platform you like, as Scott was saying. If you like Sleeper, great. I don't like Sleeper, personally. Mm-hmm. You know, I love MFL. I'm used to it. I'm comfortable with it. I like it. Bottom line. But if you like Sleeper better, play on Sleeper. That's okay, man. Just don't, you don't have to shame people, or you don't have to make sure everybody knows that you don't like something.
Exactly.
You know?
All right. So I was sitting here trying to think that, A, if you've ever said anything negative about anything ever, really, and I couldn't think of anything. But also, if there was any league where I just said, no, that sucks, and I hate it. And the only thing I know for a fact I've said is I hate two tight end leagues. Like, it, to me, it completely missed the mark of what it was trying to do, and it's just awful, and I hate it. I don't go out of my way to tell people that. If I see a poll that's too tight end, I still just answer it. I still give my opinion. But if anyone ever says, hey, Russ, what do you think about two tight end leagues? I'm going to let you know. I think that
might have come up in the chat the other day.
Yeah, but that's not really the point. Well, I guess that was the point. That's why I brought it up. But like, I think that's the only league format that would stop me from joining. Like, really, someone, J. Mike, brought up in the Cool Kids Club last week at some point, saying, what are the top three things you look for? And now that I mention it, I think I said people, group me, and no two tight ends. I think those were my three answers. The reason I said group me, and really I should have just put it all into one big thing, like Scott was saying, play whatever format you like. MFL is my format. MFL is the platform. Sorry. That was the right word. It's bigger than me just liking MFL the best. Man, I'm in 20 something leagues. I've done a lot of work to pare them down to just MFL. I have two or three leagues that are home leagues. My keeper leagues are on CBS or Yahoo. And I think that's it. I think everything else is MFL. That's the only real reason I won't join on something else, just because I don't want things spread out anymore. I'm tired of checking multiple sites. It's bad enough I have to check 20 something lineups. But yeah, like, now that I, yeah, two tight ends is terrible. That's what I keep going back to. But to be fair, no matter how much I hate a league format, if the right people are in it, I think I'd probably do it anyway, especially if it was cheap. But I think we're sort of, beating a dead horse is really just the phrase that's coming to mind, but I didn't want to sound as negative as the rest of that conversation was, but I couldn't think of anything better. So we're just going to use that and keep going. So that's the news. That's the main event. Okay. So
man, like 2 weeks ago when I was actually on the show, I tweeted out at looking for listener questions and I got like one. And then last week where I missed it, of course, Brian tweets it out. He gets a bunch. This week, 18. So,
good job. So I'd rather have 18 because then, yeah. I mean, anything no, we don't 18 get
is
to,
the wonderful we, part. Sure. What I was ing was what I used to do was every week I would ask for questions and every week I would just paste them all into the Google Doc we use as the show sheet. And man, my voice just cracked on the word Google right there.
Google Doc.
And then as I read them, I would delete them, but that would be a way to keep them over, you know, for next week in case it was another week where I got one question. And for some reason, I stopped doing that. I started just deleting everything and moving on to the next one. I need to stop doing that to save myself for when I have just nothing to talk about and I get one question and then I'm like, oh man, what the hell am I going to do for an hour? Okay. But you know, so A, yes, what Brian was saying last week and what we're going to say now is thank you to everyone who thinks to ask us questions. And also A1, because I think I went with A in the beginning. Can never remember if I go number or letters. I love that still to this day people ask us about Disney stuff. And B, it's time for listener questions, Brian.
Listener questions!
Okay, so when I asked about listener questions, of course, right away, Peter came in and said Moana. Someone replied to that with a Toy Story GIF. I'm going to ask you a question, and it's pretty much, it's a stolen question. I wish I could remember who asked it, but it was on Twitter and it like a, you know, retweets everywhere. What is, we're going to keep it to Disney Pixar movie that made you cry the most. And if you say I'm the kind, I don't cry at movies, then you're either too much of a man and need to calm the hell down or you're a liar. Brian, you went right to the mic. So I think you know your answer.
So honestly, this is crazy for me because I love movies and Disney movies, and I am a major crier. Like I get not like cry, like sob cry, but I mean, at the end of Rudy, man, and Rudy's not a Disney movie. I don't think. Maybe it is. I don't know. Anyway, it's not
a Pixar
movie. I think
it is on Disney Plus, to be fair.
My God, every time he gets that sack and that dude does that hard clap thing as he's walking out of the stadium with that man. I every time it gets me every time, and I hate Notre Dame and all that stuff. So no offense, Scott. I think you're a Notre Dame fan. You're at least from Chicago. So I'm like, you know, I'm treading lightly here. But the bottom, yeah. So there are two movies that have hit me, and I think both of them were unexpected. Okay. I mean, I expect to be moved by, I mean, so
every
Onward,
Pixar movie you go in and you're prepared to cry.
Correct. And like, so, and Onward is one that like really, the new one, Onward was really good.
You didn't feel it coming until the end.
No, not at all. Like it was just,
yep.
Whoa. And the two other ones. So one is the movie Coco.
And Mike McKinnon in the chat also said Coco. Like that is a very popular answer.
Yes. So Coco, every single time.
Movie is, if you haven't seen Coco, go watch it. It's fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. It's absolutely great. And the second one for me, and this is a weird one probably, and people are gonna be like, what the f-? Big Hero 6 got me. I didn't see that movie until recently. Yes. Cause I got mad. I was like, why didn't anybody tell me about this movie?
I did. Don't you dare. You saw it because I told you to see it.
It was wonderful. And
yes.
And when, you know, all the stuff with Baymax at the end and everything and the chip being in the hand and then he builds him and then like it was really good. It was, that movie got me too.
If you haven't seen Big Hero 6,
I love
6,
that movie. That might be one of my favorite movies ever.
It really
I
is
love that movie.
Amazing. If you haven't seen Big Hero 6, but you've seen Monsters, Inc., the very, very end of Monsters, Inc., where Sully opens the door and she goes, Kitty, and his face lights up. First of all, that is one of my big moments where I literally just like, I start bawling. And especially, oh man, just now that I have kids, just everything gets worse when you have kids. Sorry, Scott. he's getting his first pretty soon. But it like it has one of those moments, and it's just like, and it really is. Man, I have this thing with, I think I've even said it on this show before, but when cartoon characters accept their deaths, I lose it. I went to see Toy Story 3 opening night in the theaters. I'm sitting way too close to the screen because I didn't buy my ticket soon enough. Actually, no, this was before assigned seating, so I just didn't get to the theater early enough. And there's this part where they end up in like a garbage compactor and they're going towards like a furnace pretty much. And they're fighting, they're swimming, and then all of a sudden they just stop, they look at each other and they lock hands. Oh my God, I was sobbing like somebody just ran over my dog. It was just like, oh my, like louder than the kids behind me. I was bawling and oh, like getting teary eyed thinking about it. And while it's not to that level, the end of Wreck-It Ralph, where he, yeah, oh, by the way, way too late to say spoiler alert at this point because we're talking about the end of every single movie we've talked about so far. But where he, yeah, where he's, you know, in the boss battle in the end and he's falling to make the beacon for the cybugs and everything. And he starts doing the bad guy affirmation, clinching the medal that, Vanellope made for him. Oh my God. Still again, right now, my heart's like just like beating and like getting ready to like, my eyes are welling up. Like seriously, that gets me every Pixar movie, by the way, these days, it's like they do it on purpose and they know what they do. Like, oh, yeah. I started thinking about like Toy Story 1, 2, Bug's Life. You don't cry in those, but they hit this moment where like, no, we could do something and we're just going to do it every time. It's like a power move and it works. And even when we see it coming, it still works.
And you made a point early on in that too, is like, once you have kids, it's like, it goes, your sensitivity level goes to an entirely new level. Like,
oh. But I need to point out that Toy Story 3 ends.
It was before.
And Wreck-It Ralph were both before kids. Just nice, need to point nice. That out. So, Scott.
What do you got, Scott? Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to think of any Disney.
Seriously, we've been rambling for like 10 minutes already. We had to come up with something.
I went and saw, my wife and I went and saw Lion King, you know, the new one that came out like a year ago or whatever. I don't remember crying on that one. I can't think of anything besides like Toy Story, like the original back then. But, you know, I don't have kids yet, so I don't really watch TV or.
All right. So the bottom line movies, is so. Scott's coming back on the show here in like 6 months.
Very soon. Oh, yeah. No, he won't be able to. Yeah. No, he'll be too tired in 2 weeks.
He'll know all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
that was fun, and what makes me happy is I didn't really even plan that one, just it all sort of like binged in my head at the last second.
Nice.
Whew, okay, so now it feels weird to go to football. First question, at Gold Jacket QBs, what players not in top 10 heading into this year do you see jumping into the top 10 next year? And Bobby Koch at Rick Fantasy, who you will remember from such episodes as last week's, and Superflex, by the way, they finally put out a new freaking episode, that I edited and it was awesome. Wants to know specifically QBs, which quarterbacks outside of the top 10 we like. So in preparation, because I prepared, let's go over in Superflex. Do I have this? Wow. Chris, I got really just shook that Christian McCaffrey was the 1-on-1 and not Patrick Mahomes or Saquon Barkley. Sorry, Brian. So I have May Superflex ADP, where I just sort of spoiled the top three, but here's the top 10. Christian McCaffrey, Patrick Mahomes, Saquon Barkley, Lamar Jackson. I haven't done that in a while. Who the hell's Lamar Miller anymore? Cause the next name's Michael Thomas. So I saw the M and it just sort of happened. Michael Thomas, Zeke Elliott, Kyler Murray at 7, Alvin Kamara at 8, Dalvin Cook, Devontae Adams, Deshaun Watson, Tyreek Hill at 12. Wow, good for him. I don't remember him ever making it that high. And I know Brian's shaking his head no, and I don't really, let's face it, his trade value is not up there. So if we have to like pick people to drop out of the 12 to move people up, it's going to be him. But real quick, I'm going to read the next 12 a little quicker, and then we'll see if we can get anyone even further out of that into the top 12. 13, Dak Prescott, Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, DeAndre Hopkins at 16, Russell Wilson, Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, Chris Godwin, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 21, Juju Smith-Schuster, Jonathan Taylor, and George Kittle at 24. So Brian, after all that many, many things I just listed, who is someone outside of the top 10 you see breaking in?
So we're talking about breaking in terms of like next year at this time, who's going to be being drafted in the top 10?
Yeah.
Or are we talking about top 10 production?
No. I mean, we talk value, so let's just stick with value. I said top 10 and read the top 12, so let's just stick with first round. Let's do top 12.
So I think that if he has another season like he had last year, it'll be Chris Godwin. I mean, I think I'm not saying that as a homer. I just think if he can, I think last year everybody expected the breakout. Mm-hmm. Now Jameis goes away. A 43-year-old Tom Brady comes in.
But will that keep him out? Because people are going to say, well, he's going to have a new quarterback in a year.
It may. Yeah, it may. But I think if he does it again, then he'll be up there. The other one I think Prescott absolutely can jump up. I mean, he only has one spot to go. He's 13, right?
Yeah, to me, I mean, like, in the real world, I really feel like we swap him and Hill anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, as far as who else, I mean, I know there's a lot of guys that I would be drafting higher than. It's a lot easier for me to tell you people I think will not be up there that are currently up there.
No, so do that. That's fine. Let's. Who do you think? Because, I mean, like, you make it seem like it's an easy thing. So who do you think won't be there pretty easily next year? Besides Tyreek Hill, who we've said six times.
I don't think Dalvin Cook will be there.
Dalvin Cook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're all pretty much kind of there.
Yeah, I don't think Dalvin Cook will be there. It depends.
If Deshaun Watson doesn't have a top 4 or 5 year, do you think he drops out of the first round?
Yes, because people already hate him.
He's already dropped out.
Yeah, God forbid he doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, I get it, but like...
All right, I'm going to say something, and I hate saying these things because of how easily they can be misconstrued. I'm not calling Deshaun Watson Tom Brady, but like we're so upset that DeAndre Hopkins is gone, but he has some good receivers still, and they're clearly not going to run the exact same system. Like, imagine putting Deshaun Watson on the Patriots for the past couple of years. I mean, they have Bill O'Brien, who ran the Patriots offense for a little while. Like, what happens if they now go more West Coast? I mean, like, that could easily, he'll still be scoring points. He'll get them in a different fashion. So the hate on him has gone too far. I have to admit, I got scared when Hopkins first left. But the more time went on, like, it got back to me. Like, I thankfully didn't panic sell. I don't think. I probably did somewhere. But yeah, if he does not produce now, I think fear would have taken over and he'll need to, like, go crazy and be QB2 2 years in a row to get back into that first round. Scott, do you have anybody I guess both sides of this, anyone you think is going to move up, or, and then who do you think will move out to help him move in?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're universal on Dalvin Cook. I would say maybe Kamara, although I do have him as a rebound candidate this year, but it just depends if he doesn't sign an extension or if he's leaving New Orleans. It's possible that he drops out. I've already seen Watson outside of the first round in multiple leagues. So, I'm not super surprised by that. Yeah, Dak is kind of the obvious one, I think. And Mixon, if you look at what he did at the end of last season when he got some linemen back healthy and they had some weapons to actually throw to, he actually tore it up at the end of the year. So if you get a full season of that, he could definitely jump up there. But then I guess you have the contract issue with him too. So,
yep.
You know, running backs for me, I don't know. It's difficult for me to ever take a running back this early in a startup, but you know, and Hopkins too, right now I'm working on his projections, and even though he may not get 150 targets he got last year, I think he's still going to be very efficient in that offense. So I honestly don't understand how far he's dropped. I think a year ago I took him at like number 6 overall in a startup. So I don't feel he's, man, at 16, I don't know. To me, that's a value.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so Mike McKinnon in the chat asks, if Dalvin stays healthy for the whole year, will he be back in next year? Assuming he's a top 5, 6 producing running back. I think the problem with that is not even necessarily age, but he's on that second contract and people are going to start selling. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Will he be drafted that high? I mean, maybe. But yeah, it's easy to see him fall out because it's a, I don't know if it's a long shot to say he'll stay healthy, but you know, we've seen that health can be an issue. And once he hits that second contract, everyone, I mean, that's where we are. I mean, that's what the league shows where we need to be. So it's easy to see him fall out. Brian went homer in a direction I didn't think he would. He went Penn State homer and I thought he was going to go Steelers homer.
Juju.
Yeah. I mean, for real, like if Ben comes, even if Ben doesn't, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. He stays healthy and he has a what top 12 season. I think he jumps a couple of, I mean, he's 22. Yeah. 22 right now. I could easily see him jumping 10 spots above Tyreek Hill, especially pretty easily, especially because the dude's still like 18. I mean, it's ridiculous. I think he could easily jump up. And I mean, let's be honest, if Jonathan Taylor or Clyde Edwards-Helaire have a top 12 season, they're making the first round. Because I mean, Mixon and Cook pretty much did that, even though they didn't have good rookie years. To go a little further down, DJ Moore, I think if he does awesome with Teddy there, I think he can jump. I don't know if he'll make it top 12, but I mean, 15 pretty easily.
So let me go one more here. So Bobby, I think I saw on the sheet, it said about quarterbacks specifically.
Yeah.
So the guy to me that can jump up into a first round in a super flex league with one big season is Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
Because
that's
look,
exactly who I had written down.
I'm not sure with Baker. I'm not sure. I don't necessarily
you
think
can take
that
my
it's
shortness.
Gonna happen. I'm not sure.
I am
sure
enough to cover me and Brian's on shortness.
But if it does, if this offense clicks under a new regime, and Baker is now a 4,300 yard, 35 touchdown, 15 interception guy at 25 years old. I mean, there's enough people out there that want him to succeed so badly that I think it will push his value. I mean, I think his value would skyrocket if he had a season like that.
All right. Scott, do you have anything to add to Baker before I actually read the quarterbacks?
That's exactly the name that I wrote down, just for the fact that he was already going at the end of the first, 12 months ago. So, yeah.
So if I pulled up just quarterbacks, so the top 10 quarterbacks, Mahomes, Lamar, Kyler, Deshaun, Dak, Russ Wilson, Carson Wentz, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield. It feels weird a little towards the end. So let me read you the next 10. Tua, Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, Kirk Cousins, Drew Lock, Sam Darnold, Ryan Tannehill. This seems a lot harder to move people into the top 10 that aren't really there. I think the easy choices are the 2-3 young guys that we listed in that entire thing. Tua, Daniel Jones, and Drew Lock. If they explode or... Man, like Tua just needs to stay healthy. If he plays and stays healthy and doesn't look bad, I think he jumps a few spots. I mean, it gets weird. Like, it's really tough. I usually listen to podcasts in the car to and from work. And since I'm working from home these days, I don't really get to listen very often. But when I do, I get like 10 in a day. And that happened in the past, like over this weekend. And now my brain's mush as to who said what. But I think it was Dap Network's Fantasy Timeline, where they were talking about someone's tweet who said quarterbacks are overrated in Superflex leagues. And the answer to that, for me at least, is no. Mid-range quarterbacks are a little overrated because they get pretty mushed together. Is there that big of a difference between Drew Lock at 18 and Daniel Jones at 12? I mean, when there's... What, 24 starters? Because usually we're just talking like 12 teams because that's, you know, the average, I think, of at least the Twitter community's leagues. Like, is there that big of a difference between those guys? I don't really think so. So, like, that's the big thing to me. Like, is Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and what we hope Kyler Murray to be, Dak Prescott, are they overrated? Absolutely not. Those guys will win you leagues. Can you win without them? Sure. Everybody. Yeah. Things happen. But man, like those top guys are worth it. Those middle guys, it's just sort of, and I think especially when it comes to ADP, age plays a lot into it. Like you'll notice that the top 12 guys, like average their age out. I'm way too lazy. There's only one dude over 30 and quarterback and yeah, Russell Wilson. And quarterbacks play till they're 40 these days. So, I mean, average age, like scrolling my eyes real quick, 27 at best. And the thing is, there's only two guys 27 or older. It's just that Russell Wilson really, you know, breaks the curve. I mean, 24, 23, 22, 24, 26, 31, 27, 24, 23, 25. Like, youth has so much to do with it. And yes, Mahomes, Lamar are crazy young, and that really just helps that they're also crazy good. But, like, I think to really jump in these standings, young guys have to do really well. And I think those guys will be Locke, Tua, and Daniel Jones. Because honestly, like, I don't think Jared Goff, no matter what he does, will really break back out, because I think people are going to be too afraid that what his floor is, because we've seen a floor. Whew, I talked a lot. Anybody else have anything to add to that?
No, I totally agree with that. I think Tua probably is going to need another year for me, just with the weapons that he has there. I actually was just doing their breakdown, because believe it or not, something that's kind of under the radar is they got a new offensive coordinator. And I feel like no one knows that. But Chad O'Shea, who came over from the Patriots last year, got fired. And they brought back 70-year-old Chan Gailey to be their offensive coordinator. And he runs crazy spread offense, RPO, 57-43 pass-to-run ratio, at least the last 2 years that he was in the league, which was with the Jets. And so I'll get into that a little bit more later. I have some breakdowns for that. But you're right, it's the young guys. But I will mention that could jump up into the top 10. Matthew Stafford was on pace for 400 fantasy points last year through eight games. And honestly, I mean, yeah, Marvin Jones is kind of perennially underrated. You know, they do have an elite or close to elite number one there in Galladay. And then Hockenson hopefully should take another step. So, and bringing in Swift too, who catches passes. So, I mean, I don't see them getting worse. You know, I think Stafford is going to have another great year if he can stay healthy, but he's a guy you could probably get cheapest out of all those guys. And that could make the jump easily.
See, the great thing about Stafford is I don't think he's ever really going to break into the top 10. So you can always get him at a good value, but he will produce like a top 10 guy.
Points per game for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on. Next question. Corey Deaton at Dynasty Eeyore. How to resist the temptation of joining a startup once rookie draft season is over? If I learn the answer, I'll tell you. I have stood strong, sort of. No. I went into this non-point scoring season saying Trade Addicts 8 is going to be the only new league I join. Nope. Well, first of all, Jesse Reeves invited me into the 12 Olympians League, which I had major FOMO that for some reason he did not invite me last year. So I couldn't say no to that. I mean, who says no to being in a league with, Jesse, J Mike, Zach Reed? Like, yes. Yeah. I didn't even ask what the rules were or anything. I'm just like, wait, yeah, yes. Yeah. Okay. I'll take it. I didn't look at the team. I just said yes. Like I said before, people are really what matters to me in leagues. And then, well, I took on, Bobby Koch was looking for a co-owner in Matt Price's Redlist leagues. He's in Redlist too, and I've been wanting to get into one of those, so I took that on. I got it. That still counts as a new league. And then I've talked about it on this show, a new league that I definitely did not start to get my home friends into a real dynasty league with real people and not just people we can scrape to finally say yes to joining one so they can know what a real league is like. I definitely did not start that, and I definitely did not join that. So I can't answer you, Corey. Sorry. Guys, anything? No one has anything. Sorry, bro, you're on your own. If you let us know, if you figure it out, let us know. Okay, so we'll move on to Casey's question. Well, to be fair, I asked this as what should we talk about, so that's why these aren't really necessarily always formed as questions. The art of drunk trading, of course, or and board trading, sometimes they are one and the same. I will say this about at least me with drunk trading, everyone sees that and thinks you're going to do something dumb. Okay, let's first of all, level of drunk matters. I, to this day, have just never gotten blackout drunk in any way, shape, or form. So it's not like I never remembered what I've done. What the reason I love drunk trading is you lose not necessarily the anxiety, but you lose the back and forth in your head a little bit. I don't like sending offers, but I love receiving them, which is why I will go into every single chat and be like, yo, I've been drinking, send me some stuff. Because there are some trades you get every once in a while. You're like, I like this, but I just don't think I could pull the trigger. And then usually when you're drunk, I'm like, okay. Like, I have never gone back the next day and be like, oh, what was I thinking? Which, don't get me wrong, is a very possible outcome, even if I'm sober. But seriously, my favorite thing about drunk trading is I'm scared about sending offers. I'm scared about countering because especially I'm bad at clicking buttons in the first place. But I love receiving offers when drunk just because I'm more likely to take a trade that I'm borderline happy with and then see what happens from there. Because, I mean, what we've always said, even if it turns out to be a bad trade, how do you fix it? Keep trading. It's very rare you'll ever trade for a guy that literally no one will trade for. So you can always keep going on anything you've ever done. No trade is ever the last trade you'll make unless you just quit fantasy football, in which case that sucks. I'm sorry. But to me, like that's my deal with drunk trading. With board trading, that's dangerous. I click buttons and things can go bad. To me, board trading is more dangerous than drunk trading. Either of you guys have any insight on either of these, or am I just going to keep talking the rest of the show and you guys are just going to nod and say, no, we're good. Thumbs up. What a jerk. Oh, my God.
So I don't typically drunk trade.
Mr. Risk Averse, okay.
Yeah, I mean, so it just depends who I'm with too, right? So like, I've talked openly. So here's something we're going to tangent for just a second here.
Do it.
I love every Trade Addicts League that I'm in. Every single one of them.
If anyone ever leaves one, they'll let you in.
They're all different. I know. We're going to have conversations on like how this works moving forward.
Just not be anymore. I don't know if I have the energy.
The Ocho is the end. No. And a bunch of people just quit listening because they're like, well, screw that. I'm not going to listen to them if they're not going to open more.
Debbie days. Addicts is next.
Scott, shut your mouth.
Sure.
I am on record. This is my tangent. Okay. And I am on record as saying the Trade Addicts 3 is my favorite Trade Addicts league. Okay. Or the best. And it's both. I love all of them. All of them. I'm saying again, but I love that league. Here's what I don't understand. Those guys don't give you enough shit. Those guys do not. They don't give you enough shit. I come on the airwaves here on our show, on other shows, their shows. And I lay it out. Trade Addicts 3, best Trade Addicts league. Russ to this day, and good for him because this is he has more willpower than me, I guess, will not come out and say which Trade Addicts league is his favorite Trade Addicts league. I don't know that I necessarily know, and he may be honest in that statement. He may be honest in that statement because I legitimately think that he has a great time in every Trade Addicts league that he's in, as do I. And we don't have to pick favorites. I'm not pressing you to pick favorites. You look sick and sad right now.
No, I'm just checking Twitter.
Oh, so you're just checking out when I talk, which is par for the course. So we're good.
Yeah.
So, but the Trade Addicts 3 guys don't give you any shit about it. They need to start giving you shit about it.
So next question from @MikeMcKinnon, Mike B. McKinnon, sorry. Second year wide receiver breakout candidate.
Hey, can I talk about drunk and board trading though? So drunk trading, I don't typically do. Board trading will have me maybe throw in something to get something done. Or drunk trade, like so I was where I started with the whole Trade Addicts 3 thing is we had our little video thing that we did, right? The get together.
Yeah.
On Zoom, and Jay and I did a trade, and it was just like I sent it out to like everybody. Like I sent not that trade, but like I sent a trade to everybody that was on that call.
Of course, this happened after I left and went to bed. And, yeah.
Right. Yeah. We didn't cross paths that night, but Jay and I got one done during that time. And it was just like, I need this much more value. And he's like, well, I can give you this much more value. And I'm like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it helps, like Russ said, it kind of helps you just not, I mean, if you're getting drunk, don't trade. Just don't trade. If you're a little tipsy and feeling like, oh, well, you know, I've had a couple drinks and I'm going to go make a deal. And same thing with board. I board trade. I probably trade because I'm bored more than anything, but I'm a stickler when it comes to value. I have to get value back.
Yeah, if
I
don't get the value, so annoying.
If I don't get the value that I think I, you know, that I feel like I need, and I'm not talking about like a third here or a fourth there. I mean, I don't fickle over that stuff, but like, if I don't feel like the value's there, I'm very patient when it comes to trades. Russ gets pissed sometimes. I've made a couple trades where I've gotten exactly what I wanted just by waiting him out because he. But you've gotten a lot better too over that. I mean, you do much, much better nowadays.
Oh, I've grown. All right, Scott, freaking talk a little bit. Come on.
Listen, I'm going to say something about drunk trading though, and it's as a commissioner, don't do like stupid drunk trades because I don't want to fix your stupidity the next day when you wake up and you're like, what is that? I didn't do that. I didn't click accept on that. You know, no, I don't want to hear that. Okay. And dealing with the rest of the league being in an uproar over like some stupid trade. And so if you want a drunk trade, that's fine, but there's no takesy backsies here because you were drunk or whatever. We're not doing any of that stuff.
No,
okay?
Absolutely.
We're not playing those games.
You're right. Live with what you do.
You know, and the second part of that, like board trading, I don't understand. Like if you're trading, how are you bored?
Well, no, it's like literally just sitting here. There's like, you know, you sit there.
I don't know what that's like.
You're not bored while you're doing it. You're doing it because you're bored. Because you're just like,
bored is not in my vocabulary.
Oh, well, look at you. All right. All right. You're just okay. That's fine. Let's move on.
Next.
Okay. At Mike B. McKinnon, second year wide receiver breakout candidates you're interested in. I mean, is the answer for everyone Nikhil Harry? I mean, I don't know. You're shaking your head. I mean, that's the easy one. That's the obvious one. I think he was some people's 101, no less wide receiver one. And
that's true.
Things have changed, to me, especially for the better for him. So, I mean, he's an easy answer. I haven't let go of Akeem Butler yet. I know Nuke being there kind of put a wrench into he's the only guy of that body type, but the dude's still young. And I mean, I go nuts about T. Higgins whenever anyone wants to talk about him. And I think it's awesome that being underneath, AJ Green on the depth chart, it's great. Like everyone's like, oh, well, he's not going to play right away. That's fine. Let him learn from one of the best players in the league for the past decade. Like Akeem Butler, this is great for him having Nuke there. I mean, do we know that Nuke is going to sign some giant contract in a year or two with Arizona? No, we don't know that. And let's face it, Akeem Butler clearly isn't going to be a thing right away. It wasn't going to happen anyway. But now he gets to learn from DeAndre Hopkins, and that's great. I mean, there's no one else I could really think about otherwise that we expected something from that hasn't really happened. Like I remember, like I was a Butler fan last year for the same reason. Like everyone else is a small, fast slot receiver, but he's a big dude. And they just didn't use a big dude. I mean, so like it didn't really work out. But now it seems clear that that's something they want to do. And bringing Nuke in is a way to help mold Butler into, again, I hate saying this because Butler will probably never be DeAndre Hopkins, but it's going to mold him into being like that kind of player. So to me, and so, of course, he's worth absolutely nothing. So he'll be super easy to get in as a throw-in on trades. So, to me, those are my two real answers and my easy ones because I can't really honestly think of anyone else who we're really expecting of. And I did not pull up last year's rookies to remember anyone else.
Yeah. So I wrote down three names and one of them with a question mark, one with an exclamation point, and one that was underlined. And Akeem Butler was underlined for me. I actually just got him in the 21st round of the Dynasty Diagnostic Champions League, a new division startup here. The 21st round, I got a guy that I literally saw go in the first round of rookie drafts last year. Didn't play a snap last year, and people are giving up on him already. So that's fine. I'll take him. And I wrote Paris Campbell?
Oh, yeah, that's such a good one.
I mean, he's been hurt, or he was hurt, or he is hurt. I don't know what his deal is, but I think there's no reason that he can't come out this year with a real quarterback behind a good line and a great running game, and he can't. He should be able to step up now and possibly break out.
All right, Brian, you got any wide receivers to talk about? You're muted, buddy.
I had to pee, man, so I came back and I didn't. I was giving everybody courtesy, not hear me stomp around.
And, got you.
Anyway, anyways, so I know there's like a lot of people are not really high on Baltimore Raven wide receivers. I think that Miles Boykin has a chance to be a surprise this year. I don't know what we're talking about with breakout. Like, he's not going to break out and break into the top 50 players in fantasy football. I'm not talking about that, but I think he can legitimately be a guy that wins you some leagues later in the season. You know, I think he's going to score touchdowns.
Yes.
I think he's going to score touchdowns. So, you know, he could have, you know, 8 to 10 touchdowns. And if he gets 700 yards or 800 yards, I mean, that's going to be a pretty nice season based on, I think, a lot of people's expectations of him this year.
Yeah. Like, if you're high end Denzel Mims right now, then you need to at least like Miles Boykin a little bit.
Yeah.
Cause it's the same story from last year. He just got drafted to a very different situation. If the Ravens didn't have 18 tight ends they love throwing the ball to, I think Boykin would be, I mean, a star is really overstating it, but like the dude would be catching touchdowns every single game because he doesn't fit the body type of the rest of the wide receivers on the team. Everyone else is small and fast or shifty like Snead is, but Boykin's a very big dude and he, you know, he's fast, he's athletic, but the, you know, they have Mark Andrews and I don't even remember who they have. Like,
Hunter Hurst is gone, so that's good.
Hayden Hurst. You did what I do.
Hayden Hurst. Yes,
I always call him Hunter.
I combine them, yeah.
I think Nick Boyle is still there. Max Williams is gone. But still, they have like 18,000 guys. Okay, thank you, Mike, in the chat. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Jalen Hurd, Andy Isabella, Keyshawn Johnson. He's listing other guys. I got to be honest. I think give J.J. one more year, and then I'm ready. Like Alshon's back, which I didn't necessarily see coming. But drafting Rager, to me, was a bit of a good thing for Arcega-Whiteside, because again, 100%. Different. So I'm not absolutely not giving up on JJ Arcega-Whiteside. Like I still think he can be a thing. Will he break out this year? I don't think so. This will be another one of those things. If like 8 games into the season, Alshon gets hurt again, I think he'll actually get a shot on like last year. I have no idea what happened last year, but I think now more time in the league, more time to learn all of that stuff. Again, I think Alshon being there is good for a young raw wide receiver. So. Yeah, Jalen Hurd, man, I just think he's too buried at this point. I don't know enough about him in the first place to really have anything great to say. And Isabella and Johnson, I just don't think they'll ever be dependable. I think Isabella is great for best ball leagues because you see he could take a screen 80 yards any single time you give him the ball. Keyshawn, I mean, he was like, what, a third-round rookie pick in the first, fourth-round in the first place. I don't know if he's really going to be a thing. Anything on those guys?
No, definitely Keyshawn. No, I liked him a little bit. He had nice production in college, but he didn't really have all the metrics that you like to see, especially from an athletic standpoint. Isabella, I don't know. They're obviously going to try to groom him, mm-hmm. no doubt, but I think they have too many. There's so many options there that you're exactly right. That's going to be a best ball option. But there's another Johnson I was thinking of too, Deontay Johnson. I like him.
I really
should
have pulled up like last year's rookies.
He actually had a pretty damn good year last year, considering. Obviously, Juju couldn't produce with all their whatever quarterbacks they had, and yet Deontay did. So I don't know if he necessarily becomes a superstar, but I honestly think he can definitely like wide receiver two, maybe to Juju's one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean let's put this out there. Not everyone can be a superstar. Not everyone could be a wide receiver and running back one. So like when we say breakout, we, like Brian said before, that doesn't even mean like a top 50 player. It just means usable. And that's all, assuming you play in 12 team leagues that start at least 9 players, these guys will be useful for you. That's more or less what we're saying. When you get to 10 team leagues, it gets, especially if you're only starting eight or nine people. I mean, in that case, will these guys be helpful? Probably not. But 12 teams, we start 10 in the Trade Addicts leagues. You absolutely have these guys' rosters, and you to be able to start these guys on a bye week is huge in the format we play in. So yeah, I think those will all at some point, the guys we talked about, not necessarily this year coming up, but I think in the next year or two, will be startable assets. So we're going to do one more listener question, and then we're going to jump into some Trade Addicts trades, because, man, we've been going for a while already. I didn't even realize that. You guys are good to talk to. I don't know if I've said that before.
Aw, heart hands.
Aw.
You were nowhere near. You might as well have just like put that onto your ear. That was nowhere near the front of the camera. Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
Matt Price FF. I think I've heard of him before. Where is the cutoff? Where the cutoff is on players, you would trade your 2021 first for a contending team.
Yeah. Now, so yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I'm ready for this. What I did was I pulled up the DLF trade analyzer, and what I love that you can do is you can just pull up the value list of everything everyone is worth. So I pulled this up. I have where a 21 first is valued, and then I figured we'd play Brian's favorite game. And,
yes!
But first, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say mine is a lot further down, I think, than what a lot of people's will be.
Brian hates trading first also, by the way. Okay.
No. I'm saying I would probably trade my 21 first on a contending team for some guys that a lot of people wouldn't.
You yelled at me for trading away all of our picks in Trade Addicts 7.
Well, yeah.
Whatever Brian's version of yelling is.
Russ, why did you trade away all those firsts?
I like trading.
Can we try to save some draft picks for next year?
I'll try. Okay, what really was a little surprising to me, now I pulled up Superflex because, I mean, that's what we play, so sorry if you play 1 QB. But, I mean, this isn't all that different. I think probably, what, subtract 3 when we talk about first round picks for this year at least. The DLF Trade Analyzer has the 2021 first, like the random 2021 first, worth the 109 in a Superflex rookie draft. It's a little early for me, but
yeah, same.
Just gonna go with what their value says, which means what? Judy, Rager. I mean, to me, I'm taking those guys over 2021 first. Justin Jefferson, I'd take over 21 first. Like, to me, I'm not trading my 21 first until we hit like the 203. I mean, just to put that out there real quick. But let's, I'm gonna start at 21 first and go down. And you say, yes, I'll trade it away. No, I won't. Ryan Tannehill. Yes.
Yeah, I would too. I'd hate it, but I would do it.
If I'm competing and getting me a starting quarterback that just signed a contract.
Yeah. Yep.
But let me just put it out there. Don't expect last year's Ryan Tannehill. I don't think anyone could ever be that efficient again. Right. I mean, getting away from Adam Gase seems to make everybody better. So, but like there's a middle. DJ Chark.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I would do.
Kenyon Drake.
I would.
Yeah, I think so. Here's the thing.
Things will change by the time the answer is yes to me. I need to see that he's doing this again.
I agree.
This needs to be like week 6 and I see him scoring points, in which case it may take more than a 21 first.
It will take more than a first, yeah.
Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah. At that point, yes, it is. Teddy Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Probably, yeah.
Sam Darnold?
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right, well, we just had a big group of rookies. Terry McLaurin, we're 21 to first.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. I'm just going to skip over quarterbacks at this point because I think the answer is yes if they start. David Montgomery.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Chicago shirt-wearing guy. honestly, I think the answer is yes because even if the dude is a solid running back too,
volume.
That's worth what you think is going to be a late 21 first. And again, he set a competing team. So that leads to believe you think you're going to be bottom six in a 12-team draft. So yeah. I think David Montgomery is a sell, is something I would do that for. Tyler Lockett?
Oh my God, I just threw up. Jarvis Land? Oh my gosh. How is Jarvis?
We're not even near Jarvis Landry yet.
I know, but oh my gosh.
The hate on Jarvis Landry is still real.
Tyler Lockett, yes, I would pay a first for.
Yes.
All right, soon I'm just going to skip down pretty far because I think just.
You might as well because I'm looking at all of these and there's not a guy till like. Derek Carr that even make
Devin, okay no hold on I want to ask this for a purpose. Devin Singletary.
I would look for somebody who's not splitting carries.
Everybody's splitting carries. Would you send a 21? Is Devin Singletary worth a 21 first? Let me ask it in that phrase.
It's close.
PPR, yes.
We're going to tie that back to a trade addicts trade as soon as we're done with this. James Conner.
I would if he's healthy. I would if he's healthy.
I think I'd be too afraid, but
I wouldn't do it.
I think we're hitting. I think we've hit a wall. Actually, not really. T.Y. Hilton.
Yes.
Really? I don't.
I would not.
And I love T.Y. Hilton. I think.
Michael Gallup? Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Brandon Cooks? If you're a competing team and he's
no one is getting a first for Brandon Cooks anymore.
Dude, what I'm saying is, look, if we're talking. So, first of all, you shouldn't be. We are not even in June yet, okay? You don't really know if your team's a competing team yet. Right. I mean, this question is kind of loaded, right? At this point in the off season, do you know that your team is a competitor or not? I mean,
you know what you're aiming for your team to be. So you're making moves specifically in that direction. As clearly, okay, words need to be said around that. You're always trading for value right now. You're not trading to set a lineup in any way, shape, or form. So if the value is there, I think you still move teams in directions. You don't trade, even if the value is there, you don't trade DeAndre Hopkins for young guys and picks.
Yeah.
I think you're winning.
Right. And I think I would agree where we've hit the line. I mean, on May 25th, heading when a season isn't, is more than 3 months away from now, I think we've hit the line for value. For me, though, if I'm competing,
like Noah Fant, David Johnson, Darius Geis, N'Keal Harry, Austin Hooper, we're not trading first for these guys.
If this is week 7 and I'm 5-2 sitting in third place in my league and I think I have a chance to win the league, I would pay a first for T.Y. Hilton if he's producing the way that T.Y. Hilton produces. That's more where I was going.
All we could do is what we know right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right.
I would love for T.Y. Hilton to be a thing. Like, I miss T.Y. Hilton being a thing. I love throwing the T.Y. gif and saying T.Y. till you die. I miss that. That's back when Dynasty Outhouse started. I would do that every single time. Doesn't matter what the poll was. That would be my reply. I miss those days. Okay, enough of that.
What? Do you guys think that with Rivers having a better O-line that he'll be able to get the ball downfield more? Like, do you think he wasn't throwing downfield because his line was so bad? Or do you think it's because his arm is toast?
A little bit of both.
Because I'm at.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure on the arm. I'm not sure. We'll see if he's reinvigorated by a move.
I'm not betting on it. Let me put it that way. I am not going out and scooping up T.Y. Hilton shares. Like Brian said, I will pay the value it's necessary if I think it will help me win in a couple of months rather than pay a little bit more than I feel comfortable with right now to go get T.Y. Hilton.
All right. Two really quick things. Yeah. One guy I didn't hear you mention, and his value lines up exactly with a 21 first. 253.3 is the number in the trade analyzer, and that's Melvin Gordon.
Oh, did it?
Right,
is he
now,
above?
Would you do it or no?
Yes, I would do it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he's up. went down.
And Brian, you were saying before, like, do you really know you're a contender right now? And I'm going to point out something I actually looked at earlier today. One of my leagues has multiple divisions, and looking in the division, there's four of us in there. Two teams are in an all-out rebuild right now, okay? And another team it doesn't look that, like, I'm clearly the class of that division. Like, right now, I would say I'm a contender just for the fact that I'll win my division. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, a lot can happen. I get it. It's not even June. But as of right now, I would consider myself a contender based on what else is happening in my division, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does. And I think if you're clear-cut, I just wasn't clear on the time frame.
Yeah.
Again, there are so many guys like Marvin, I would pay a 21 first for Marvin Jones. If I'm in a playoff push and I think he can take me over, I need a solid wide receiver 3, and that's the only weakness I have on my team. I would pay a first for Marvin Jones. And
he people might hear me. So stingy in TA7.
I'm gonna be stingy. I don't just give shit away. Russ, we weren't gonna win that league.
I wanted to win that league.
I did too. That would have been justice too, because for us to win our first Trade Addicts League in the one league that we share.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Okay. Well, that was a lot of, man, we're running kind of long, so we're going to jump. Like I was saying before, I'm going to save listener questions for next week, so we still have a couple. But we're going to do some listener, nope. We're going to do some Trade Addicts trades.
Trade Addicts trades!
Thank you for stopping me from talking, because that was getting bad. the reason I asked, nope, first, Trade Addicts League's 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium 1.75 per reception and 0.05 points for return yardage. Trade Addicts 5, this is the reason I asked if Devin Singletary was worth a first. The trade itself, Devin Singletary, Mike Gesicki, and a 21-3rd. For Noah Fant and a 22-3rd.
Singletary side, easy.
Easy.
Okay. First of all, that's the side I took, so rock on. But here's the thing. Ow, I just hit my ankle in this armchair. I don't remember what the original offer was. He came to me with Gesicki and something for Fant and something, and I remember not liking it. So I countered with Fant and a 3rd for Gesicki and a 1st. And this was his counter. He countered with Singletary, Gesicki, and a 3rd for Fant and a 22-3rd. So in my head, I'm like, I mean, clearly I'm going to take this. Like, I think it's funny. Like, I think I threw it in the Cool Kids Club. I'm like, I should take this, right? Like, this feels weird. Is Singletary not worth a 1st? Like, that was my reply. Like, to me, he thinks that Singletary either isn't worth it or won't be worth it. And I've been saying from the second that Zach Moss got drafted, if you like Devin Singletary last year, there's no reason to not like Devin Singletary this year.
Same
because
role.
Nothing has changed. It's just same the name role. On the jersey of the guy who's taken the same exact touches away. So whatever. That's why I wanted to transition that, you know, the ADP game where you always play into this trade. Like, yeah, to me, Devin Singletary is worth a 1st. And I know Brian, like, a little bit. When you thought about it, but like, again, I put it into context and you're just like, yes. Now, I don't know. If it was Gesicki and a 1st for Fant and a 3rd, would you say Gesicki side right away? Like you just did?
Yeah, I would. Yep. Yeah. Because I think the tight ends are, I mean, I think those tight ends, I like Fant better long term. I mean, I definitely think Fant has a chance to be really special. I think Gesicki has a chance to have some special years. Does that make sense? Like Fant is going to be consistently good. I think Gesicki can have a good season a couple of times over the next 5 to 7 seasons. I don't know that it'll consistently be, you know, up there where Fant will be, but I think they're close enough that a 1st round pick certainly makes up the difference for me.
No, I kind of froze for a little bit because at first I'm like, Fant, of course Fant's worth more. And then my brain went to exactly where Brian just went, where maybe they're not as far apart as I really thought, but I'm kind of glad he kind of went with the guy I did the trade with kind of went with where my brain originally went to because it worked out for me in the end. All right. But Scott, how do you feel about everything that I just talked about?
Yeah, no, I don't have anything to add to that. I completely agree with where you're coming from. And I think it was good to doing that exercise really did bring that value to the forefront there because we know, like you said, Zach Moss is coming in to take the Frank Gore role. Singletary is going to have the same role. He's probably going to be change of pace, 3rd down back. He's going to get catches. He proved last year he could get catches. He proved last year he can handle touches. So if Moss can't hack it or gets off to a slow start, you know, the value's there. To me, Gesicki and Fant, there's honestly not a huge difference. I mean, they were both like tight end premium. They were both 1st round picks in their respective draft classes. Most people like Fant more than I do. But I will say Gesicki, and I talked about earlier doing the breakdown of Chan Gailey in that offense, he did not utilize the tight end at all previously. So that gives me some pause on Gesicki. But I guess you could kind of say the same thing in Denver. Look at all the weapons they just added. You've got a couple of guys that can play the slot. You've got Albert O, who was universally liked coming into this year. So what does that do to Fant's value? I actually think it could be a buying opportunity if people think that hurts him at all. But just circling back to this, I think they're actually fairly close, Fant and Gesicki. I don't think there's that much of a difference that, to me, adding Singletary to that, just it pushes that over the top on that side.
All right, and can we have a second of just pure honesty? Until you brought up the change of OC in Miami, I legitimately had absolutely no idea that happened.
I'm telling you, nobody does. Nobody literally knows that. That's why I'm kind of bringing it up and looking back at what he did and what they want to do going forward. It's going to change things there a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. They did well. Like, I kind of want to find. Do you know why they made the change?
It blew my mind too. I didn't understand why, when, why, where, how. I don't get it. I don't know why.
That's weird. All right, let's do another one. Well, I didn't realize that almost all of these are mine. Let's go to Trade Addicts 4. I mean, we started at the bottom. We might as well keep moving up. This one was sent to me, and I freaked out because that's just what I do when I get good offers right away. DeAndre Hopkins and Breshad Perriman for Derrick Henry and Jarvis Landry.
Nuke side.
It's nuke side for me. I don't think it's nuke side.
Yeah, it's and that's the side I got, and I kind of froze for a second. I'm like, again, went to the cool kids club, and I'm like, I should take this, right? Yeah, like, because here's what really where my brain went. I have no idea. Like, I hate my TA4 team. I don't remember how I got it to where it is now, but it is just a mess. So I'm looking to move stuff around. I'm looking to blow it up a little bit. Has anyone tried to trade Derrick Henry or Jarvis Landry right now? It's impossible. And I'm like, wait, this dude wants both? I feel like I need to say yes anyway. And I've just got lucky that the value is there for me. And I believe in Perriman can be a playable asset a little bit. So that even just adds to it. So like this, like I, again, it's just one of those where like, wait, yeah, like I'm not, I feel like I should counter for the sport of it, but I feel like that's stupid. And I just took it. Like, no, I don't think it's a bad trade at all. Like, Derrick Henry and Jarvis Landry are going to score a lot of points this year. And if I, again, like we go back to with Brian, like, do you know if you're a contender now? Maybe not completely, but you know the direction you want to go in. If I was like, I'm going to find a way to make this team try and win, I wouldn't have done this because Henry and Landry, production wise, I think outdo Hopkins and Perriman. But just to gain value and to get someone I think I can split apart and get pieces I like more than Henry and Landry, I think it made sense. So it's a direction thing more than anything else. And again, just because like, wait, these two pieces I've been trying to move and now he wants two of them. Okay. Done. Okay. That's fine.
This is classic, like people freaking out that Hopkins isn't going to be the, well, I mean, he still is, but everybody's saying he's not going to get 150 targets and whatever. I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. And, great opportunity for you to move Derrick Henry. I can tell you firsthand, I took over an orphan that had the 101. It's a really bad team. And Derrick Henry was one of the only assets. And I thought, oh, well, at least I'll be able to flip him and, you know, get something, maybe a late first. Nothing. I can't even get a counter offer.
Wow, that's rough. Even a late first. I haven't even, like, because the thing is, like, we're all too smart at this point. He got the franchise tag, which means he's a 1-year asset. And we have no idea what he is. Like, we're terrified. Like, it's funny. I think Calvin Johnson legitimately changed fantasy football, dynasty fantasy football. Because he left without really, like, no one saw it coming. So now we're terrified. So when someone is hitting an age cliff or at the end of a contract, we assume they're dead. Like, that's why 27, 28-year-olds wide receivers, we want them off our team. Running backs at the end of their contract, we want them off if we don't know where they're going to be next year. And that's where Henry is. He got franchise tagged. They're not going to franchise tag him again. That's way too much money for a running back. And no one wants to give running backs money. So, like, Derrick Henry might as well be out of the league next year. And that's why it's impossible to trade him right now for the value that it's worth. Fantasy. It's really tough to find the meeting of dynasty value and fantasy value for players like Derrick Henry. And again, like I know I use those terms every once in a while, and just in case you're a new listener, since I have, dynasty value is pure value, like ADP, trade value, that kind of stuff. Fantasy value is the points he's going to score for you. And especially during non-point scoring season, you know, it tips the scales towards dynasty value because right now we're not scoring points, so points aren't that important. Like Brian said before, he'll throw a first for Marvin Jones because he's going to score him those points. Like that's a time at the end of the season where fantasy value for a competing team means more than dynasty value because it's a future first, has a lot of dynasty value, but literally zero fantasy value. Players like Derrick Henry and even Jarvis Landry at this point, who's a young wide receiver, it's just no, he'll never get the respect he deserves, and he had surgery recently and all that stuff. I don't think he'll ever get the dynasty value that will match his fantasy value. And to me, getting DeAndre Hopkins kind of just the team I was on led me in a direction of dynasty value that I care about right now. I don't remember where I was going with any of that, but I hope that tied it together.
So who's younger, DeAndre Hopkins or Jarvis Landry?
Probably the same age, right?
Same age. Like,
no, yeah. Are they both the same age? Wow.
I think they're both 27, right? Something like that. Yep. I mean, they're only, what, a year different in the league? Like 2 years maybe at most?
Landry has one more year.
Wait, so, no, that sounds wrong.
Wait.
Landry has one more year, or is it the other way around? Wasn't Hopkins 2013, Landry 2014?
I don't know.
Okay.
Looks like Scott's clicking.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, so would you trade the 204 for the 303 and a ninth round pick in a startup? If you wanted to look at it from startup,
say that again.
You know, perspective, the 204 for the 303 and an eighth, ninth round pick. So move up from a third round to the second round for a ninth round pick in a startup. Would you do that?
Without names, I probably would. But okay,
well, that's Hopkins for Henry and Landry in startup terms, if that makes sense.
So I've got one for you guys because so this doesn't happen often, but I have a trade sitting in a so I'm a contender there. So this league, I finished as a runner up last year. My roster, let me get
hold on.
My
roster. I the most important thing that could ever happen on this podcast. I was right.
Oh,
Hopkins 2013, Landry 2014. I'm ever right, I need to point it out because that's what fantasy football Twitter
you
is taught
were right,
me.
Russ. You were right.
Never right. Got it. But I got to point out when I'm right. Wait, never wrong. Got to point out when I'm right. Man, I can't believe I was just wrong saying that I could only talk about when I was right. Shit, we might be done soon.
So here's my roster. And I want to get you guys. So I finished second in this league, but the guy that won the league is loaded. Like, think of the most loaded team you've ever seen, and this rivals it.
Wow.
Okay. Like Barkley, Kamara, Zeke, Taylor, something else at running back. Like just loaded. Broad receivers are like
quit and get out of it.
I mean, it's ridiculous. No point. Well, no, it's one of my favorite leagues. It's actually one of my favorite leagues. But I got offered. So I'm a contender. My roster quarterbacks are Goff and Dak. And then I have my running backs are kind of weak. I have Carson, Tevin Coleman, James Conner, David Montgomery, and then like a bunch of guys I can't really use, backups and stuff. And then my receivers are real strong. Diggs, Gallup, Godwin, Allen Robinson, Michael Thomas. And then I have Mark Andrews and Zach Ertz, along with Irv Smith at tight end. I got offered Melvin Gordon for Montgomery and Smith.
Irv?
Oh. Uh-huh.
It's Gordon and, Geronimo Allison.
So Gordon,
right.
The tough thing is like, man, again, Gordon's on a 1 year deal. Like you're saying, you came in second, but what you're saying right now is I'm getting this running back to make me win. And I don't think Irv or what was the other piece? Diggs,
David Montgomery.
Like, I don't think Montgomery and Irv are going to help me do that this year. I buy that. Yeah. I think I do that.
You would acquire Gordon.
I think so. I would want something.
I want to hear. Go ahead.
Hold on. No, I need to piece this together in my head. The thing is, I think the dynasty value of Irv is, I have faith in Irv Smith. He's on a lot of my teams that are not competing. Like he is the tight end I own the most on teams that I don't have like Ertz. Because, I mean, let's face it. Oh, I do have Kelsey. Weird. I was going to say, I don't have any high-end tight ends, but I really kind of do, I guess, now. I really believe in Irv Smith, so losing him kind of hurts. But honestly, I still think I do that, because what we were saying before, David Montgomery, I think, will always be a solid running back, too. he does not have the ceiling of Melvin Gordon. And you need ceiling because you need something bad to happen to that guy and something good to happen to you. And I don't think something good happening to Irv and David Montgomery is close to what good for Melvin Gordon could be. So I don't think it's good in the long term, but I think to make the push for this year, just to try and win, which honestly, I mean, you play to win the game, right, Herm? So I think I make that move. Would I counter and ask for something better than Geronimo Allison? I mean, hell, I'd ask for a third instead, just to something that I could maybe trade later. But honestly, I think I could do that trade.
Scott wearing the Bears shirt. Tell me about David Montgomery.
Okay, so he has the role. He had 250 carries last year, okay, as a rookie behind a terrible line with not much of a passing game. If Nick Foles becomes the quarterback, if their line, I think they went from 12th in PFF to 26th, I believe, as the PFF run blocking grades from 2018 to 2019, with essentially the same pieces and the same offense, massively decreased. You just rarely see that. Part of that was play calling with Nagy. So I'm going to say two things. Montgomery and Gordon are the two guys I've been buying this offseason. So it's non-point scoring season, excuse me. They're the two running backs that I've been buying. So it's interesting that you're making this trade because these are the two guys I'm going after. Now, Melvin Gordon has actually a two-year deal. His dead cap is pretty hefty in that second year. So I think they're going to have 2 years there. Monty has obviously the rookie contract, so he's going to have 3 years. If things don't work out, he may be on a second coaching staff here in a year or two, okay, which might help eventually. But again, if you're trying to win right now, I like Pat Shurmur. This is the first time you're ever going to hear this anywhere. I like Pat Shurmur. He's a horrible head coach, but he's actually a phenomenal offensive coordinator. And when I did the stats for their offense, I am buying Melvin Gordon. I obviously brought him up earlier and we were talking about ADP in the 21 first. So to me, it would be very tough to give up Monty and Irv. If you can, honestly, you said it, right? Third round picks get deals done. I mean, if that's Gordon in a third, I'll probably take it just to go try to compete with that stacked team. Because again, like you said, Russ, Monty's going to be that solid number two for you. I think he's going to have a nice high floor this season, but he's not going to catch a ton of passes because of Cohen. And they just don't have an elite offense where he's going to have the upside of Gordon. If Gordon had 12 touchdowns this year, would you be surprised? Would you be shocked if Melvin Gordon had 12 touchdowns this year?
Not at all. No.
Okay. David Montgomery is not going to score 12 touchdowns this year. So in this case, competing, going for it, trying to match up with a stacked team, you're going to need those guys with the high ceilings. And so for that reason, I would do the deal. I'd still try to get probably a third back. And I know that seems silly, but at least you're giving up a lot of youth there, and Melvin Gordon probably just has these 2 years left. You know, who knows what he's going to do after that, if anything.
I think I might try to trade. I might try to go get Lindsey first for a second.
All right. So we're going to sort of, I know we said we were done, but this leads into one of our listener questions. At Tanner Ballers. Oh, hey, two, right? Trade Addicts 2?
Yep. Trade Addicts 2.
What the hell do you do with messy backfield situations like Indy, Baltimore, and Seattle? and he used the man shrugging GIF, but apparently when you copy and paste that as values, it actually just says man shrugging.
Oh, nice.
So I actually almost read the words man shrugging. I like what Brian was saying, like he'll go buy Philip Lindsay. I don't like owning backfields. Like my answer to that question would be stake a claim and go for it. So like I'd be fine just owning Gordon without owning Lindsay. I don't understand why owning the two of them makes sense. Except you're handcuffing, and that's what you're doing. I know, like, previous years, people loved owning Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. Like, to me, owning backfields never made sense. Like, either you're right or you're wrong, or you're wasting a roster spot. Because you'll never be able, usually you won't be able to start both, let's put it that way, at the same time, unless you had, like, Ingram and Kamara. I think both Lindsay and Gordon could be playable at the same time. I just don't think it's something you'll want to do. So is going and acquiring Lindsay wrong? No, not at all. I don't see the value of owning both of them.
It's interesting that you say that, because I actually do find myself handcuffing or owning backfields more in Dynasty than I do in redraft. I don't know why. I don't necessarily go out and try to do it, but if it's like part of a trade and that's like, we'll get the deal done, you know, throw me my handcuff or something, I mean, I'm for that. But this is one of the cases where I'm not. I'm going for Melvin Gordon, and I have no interest in Lindsay. And I know that I'm wrong. And that's fine. I've never been a Lindsay guy, and he's proven me wrong 2 years in a row. So that's fine. I know I'm wrong for not being a Lindsay guy, but I don't like him long term. And I think this Gordon share, he's not really like the pass catcher guy. Like, can he catch passes? Yeah, but he's not elite at it. So Melvin Gordon is a better runner and a better pass catcher. And he's getting paid, and he has the draft cap. I mean, he has everything. Gordon has everything over Lindsay. Like, there's nothing that Lindsay does that's better. So to me, I don't think it's necessary to do so in this case.
Did that convince you at all, Brian?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, it helps certainly to get opinions. I mean, I feel like I might consider the deal a little more strongly than previously, and may eventually take it. But I don't know that I don't know how I feel on, I mean, I feel better about it if I can grab Lindsay for cheap. Or, I mean, second round pick isn't cheap, but it's a second round pick a year from now. And I do think he has standalone value. Mm-hmm. He's not, I mean, I don't think he's, you know, I mean, I agree with what Scott said. I think that's Gordon's job. And I think he's going to come in and take the reins and go, but he also has a history of injury. So, having a guy that has standalone value and has tremendous value if Gordon goes down, and I have Gordon, it kind of makes me a little bit more likely to maybe try to do something. But it might be tough. The guy that has him I don't get deals done with very often. He's a great guy, but we don't get deals done. So we'll see how that goes.
No, I mean, I think we got this deal done for you. I think I think we got it. But on that note, I'm freaking tired. So this is not the end of our show sheet, but it's still the end of our show. I haven't said that in a while. That felt good. I like that. I miss those days. Look, not really. I don't miss the days of being tired. I mean, that just sort of happens every day. But yeah, I'm done. We're done. Well, I mean, to be fair, like, I didn't ask Scott to do the tell people who you are, because, I mean, he's one of our fill-ins. So hopefully you know Scott by now. And the reason he's here, because Brian wasn't sure if he was going to be able to make it. So I called up, you know, what was that, like the baseball thing? Like, I threw in the sign for the lefty or something, and Scott came in, and did I use that right? I don't know. But then Brian, yeah, Brian said he'd be able to make it, and I was not like I was going to kick Scott off or anything. So that's why he's here. So hopefully you know who he is. Do you write? Do you do stuff? You were talking about researching things. Like, am I a bad person for not being able to pimp out stuff you do?
No, not at all. I don't care. Really, I'm just, right now, the only reason I'm kind of doing articles is because I do it for my own research. So I figured, why not turn it into articles and just like have fun with it a little bit. And then actually there is one thing that, is kind of a new idea, but it's fun so far. We've been doing it for the leagues that we're in, and we've had some people reach out to us. So, Mick Stalkin, and who's been on this as a guest with me when I've hosted in the past, and also Ross Batko, we started doing breakdowns of our leagues, just doing a podcast of the breakdown of the league and whatever. And we actually had people reach out to say, hey, could you do it for our league? And so I don't know officially if we're going to call this the Dynasty Roast or something similar like that. And we're going to have just where we break down the league. We'll do a couple recommendations for each team. So hit me up at Scott_Sidlow on Twitter. You can find me there. We can do those breakdowns for you and just ultimately have fun.
That's what it's all about. That's awesome. That actually sounds like fun. I may get you to do the Trade Addicts leagues, because why not? You have your face to the mic, Brian. You're muted.
He's muted.
You're the worst at this. You're so bad at this. Like,
I wasn't talking. I wasn't going to talk. I my mouth was moving, but I wasn't going to talk. It's all good.
God, the amount of editing you're making me do today is just infuriating. all right. Well, I mean, this, we're going to get into the stuff that Brian screws up anyway, so I don't know why he's going to go talk. Well, first and foremost, Scott, thanks for coming on. Go follow him at Scott_Sidlow. But also go follow DAP_network for the DAP network, and also at Dynasty Junkies and at Fantasy Timeline, because those guys are all awesome. Subscribe to both YouTube and all of those podcast platforms, the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. You get all three of our shows. If we could ever convince the junkies to do some YouTube stuff, they'll get on there too, but you definitely get their podcast. But to the usual stuff, ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, the website that Brian will never get the hang of.
ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com.
Well, you could say it now because I literally just said it. You can get some awesome DAP Network, Trade Addicts Podcast. I threw up stickers and t-shirts for Timeline and for Junkies. Dynasty Diagnostic, Dynasty Game Night, Coast to Coast Scouting. Man, the list is getting long where it's actually hard to remember all of them at once. Top Shelf DFF, Superflex Super Show. Wow, yeah, that is a lot. T-shirts, mugs, stickers, so many stickers. I love stickers. Man. My Junkies and Timeline and DAP Network are on the way. Throw on the back of my laptop. 10% of everything goes to Fantasy Cares, to tie that back to the Scott Fishbowl that we were talking about at the beginning. And speaking of, Brian, do you finally have them on? Our Trade Addicts wristbands?
I don't.
You're the worst. Neon green and navy blue, $5 per wristband, $2 of every wristband goes to Fantasy Cares as well. Slide up into Brian's DMs at BrianHarFF. And, once the world is not terrifying, he'll go out and send them to you. And last but not least, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You heard us a few times reference, people in the chat, you know, chiming in while we're talking. Small donation can get you in there. You can watch us live stream, or even afterwards, you can watch the unedited YouTube and actually hear Brian curse instead of me editing it out, because he's making me edit and he's yawning while talking about making me do work. Amongst also, you can get into the Cool Kids Club, our group chat, which again, we also did reference because it is awesome and it is a wonderful source of information. There's so many smart people in there. Also, if you're in that chat and you ever wanted to get on this show, it just makes it so much easier because whenever we need a guest or I need a co-host, I just throw in there who wants to be on a pod. And then that's how, you know, I find these guys. But other than that, I am going the hell to bed. So good night, Brian and Scott.
Night out, Alice. Night, Scott.
Good night, Alice. Good night, R.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian R. Follow the pod at Trade Addicts Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.